The chair recognizes the senator from Wapello, Senator Chogrin.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to talk about a bill in front of us. A bill that has a very clear and concise title, which I will read to you. An act relating to and providing for educational reform involving student, teacher, and administrator programs and activities under the purview of the Department of Education, the State Board of Education, College Student Aid Commission, school districts, and accredited non-public schools, establishing a fee and including effective date and applicability provisions. Now, that's a lot of stuff. You know, school reform is important. So let me recap what we've dealt with so far. What we heard from in opening comments dealt with a ladder approach for great teachers, the recruiting of new teachers, and the funding. That's the cash. And the quote was, it won't be cheap. So let's go ahead and talk about this. You know, Senator Kornbach also talked about the fact earlier that it was against the rules for us to not have allowable growth by a certain date. And I rose and agreed with that. And we did, as a Senate chamber, pass out allowable growth in a timely manner. But you know what? The rules also say we're not allowed to have allowable growth in the bill. Thank you, Senator Kornbach, for pointing out that obvious fact. And I disagree with the governor and the House for including it in there. But just because they have bad behaviors doesn't mean that you should. And so I don't know at what point you lost your integrity and put it in there. But you know what? We need to have look at a few different options here. The issue ends up being is, you made the comment that choice is less important than belief. That's called the placebo effect.
Point of order has been raised. Please state your point, Senator Dvorsky.
Saying the senator lost her integrity is in violation of Rule 9.
Senator Chogrin, please refrain your comments to the bill itself.
Thank you very much. I will
You're
do my best
welcome.
For that. But I will be discussing our conversation here. You know, one of the things that we look at here, and I was talking about placebo effect, you know, choice is important, okay? These schools have to make a choice, and it's not about a placebo effect. Here's the dilemma we run into. We have a term called accountability, and in this bill, we actually continue with a program of the early childhood tuition grants that were designed to lower class sizes to 17 students per classroom. Senator Kornbach, would you yield for a couple questions?
Senator Kornbach, will you yield?
Happily, sir.
You are in order, Senator Chogrin.
Do you know what the definition of accountability is?
Well, it would depend on the context, but certainly I think it would apply to how well behavior matches up to expected standards.
Well, Senator Kornbach, your bill would remove accountability. Do you also know how many students your average is in your third grade classes? You know, the grade that's so important that kids learn to read in, and that we have about, for the Ames School District, for instance, we spend about $235,000 a year in order to get those class sizes down to 17. Do you know what those class sizes are?
I don't teach third grade, sir.
Well, you don't pay much attention as also the chair of education, because that's 22.4. We're nowhere near that. Thank you, Senator Kornbach. You can sit down now. The issue ends up being is we have a lot of issues. Senator Reagan, would you yield?
Senator Reagan, will you yield?
Yes.
You Senator are Reagan. In order, Senator Chogrin.
Thank you very much. Senator Reagan, I like you. I don't need to treat you the way that other senators here have treated others today. I still have a question for you. The question ends up being is, we do need accountability, and Mason City School District receives about $260,000 a year to reduce class sizes. And with this bill, we've taken out the accountability for whether or not that's successful or not. Do you know what your school district has with regards to the amount of students in third grade?
No, I do not.
Well, I regret to tell you that it's 25.1 per classroom size. We are nowhere near that 17 that the goal for this money has been. And thank you, Senator Reagan. I was just curious whether or not you had that information. You know, the challenge we run into is accountability. Once again, this bill was presented as reform. What does reform mean? It means to change what we're doing. We haven't changed what we're doing. We have a lot of problems in this state. And based on the title that I read not too long ago, there were a lot of amendments today that could have really made changes in the state of Iowa. A lot of very good amendments that all fell within the title of these bills, of this bill. I'm disappointed we didn't have an opportunity to actually make real reform in education in the state of Iowa. Instead, we have very narrowly put information together, and we have, for the most part, discounted true reform. Here's the dilemma. Placebo effect does not work. Evaluation, accountability, teacher performance, parental choice. These things work. Senator Kornbach, would you yield for another question?
Senator Kornbach, will you yield?
Certainly.
Earlier you mentioned to Senator Sinclair that statistically she needed to know what she was talking about. So I'll have to ask you a question. This has to do with teacher evaluation and the numbers. Let's see if you know the answer to this. If you have a grading system from 1 to 5, and you get a grade of 1.5 on that grading system, what is your percent of success? What is your percent evaluation?
We're not going back to grading on a curve, are we?
No, I asked you a question on whether or not you know mathematically and statistically what the answer is.
1.5 out of 5 is 30%.
You are incorrect, Senator. It's 12.5% because 1 is the lowest grade possible. It's a 0. 5 is the highest grade possible. It's a 100. 3 is 50. 2 is 25. Half between 2 and 1 makes it 12.5. The next time you think you know what's going on statistically, you should actually do some research and figure it out, because you are not that good
Senator
at what
Shalgren.
You do.
Senator Shalgren, please come to the well. Senator Shalgren, you are in order to continue with your remarks.
Thank you, Madam President. You know, what this comes down to, once again, has to do with reform. There's a lot of work to do. This is a serious issue. This bill is the first step to us passing it through to the House. I got news for you. This bill is not very good. The House bill is not very good. The governor's bill is not very good. I hope we actually take it seriously and try to put some real reform packages together to benefit the people of Iowa. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the senator from Jackson, Senator Bowman.
Thank you, Madam President. It's been some interesting conversation, and unfortunately, you know, the tone is turned disrespectful. Maybe the title isn't correct, Senator Shalgren. Maybe it should be Continuous Improvement of Education. And to me, as a classroom educator, that's what it's always about. I've spoken about this before. Our mantra is improving every semester, every year, and we have a lot of great teachers out there doing so. This Iowa career and compensation part has been consumed by most Iowans. It's been out there for a couple years, and the number one criticism that I've heard of the governor's plan is the fact that it takes great classroom teachers out of the classroom. And this bill, that may not be perfect at the moment, does address that major criticism from the governor's bill proposal. And it does so by giving multiple options, some flexibility to our school districts. I've met with a lot of administrators also, Senator Sinclair, and I appreciate the fact that you're going out and listening to educators, trying to find out, you know, exactly what the impact of some of these changes will be. And I've done so also. And the major point that they drove was that we need more flexibility. We have 348 school districts, size maybe from 40 to thousands. with completely different, I mean, diverse backgrounds, makeup. And so one size doesn't fit all. And so if anything that we should be proud of in regard to this educational continuous improvement bill is that we're providing our local schools some more flexibility. And the flexibility of maybe not pulling that outstanding chemistry teacher out of a very small school, why would we want to do that? Why wouldn't we want that chemistry teacher pulled out for a fourth of the day, a half of the day? Because we can't find a great quality substitute that can do the same job. And why is that important? For the kids. For the kids. We don't want the best classroom teachers pulled out. You know, it's ironic sometimes listening to some of the educational ideas in this chamber as a professional educator. One of the small, many problems with, you know, some of the ideas of having these mentor teachers is, for example, let's say you're an elementary teacher and you're going to be pulled out of your class for a fourth of the day. You're going to have somebody come in and teach your students, you know, the next lessons that you want them to do, whether it's math, reading, or whatever. Well, is that person just going to come in and magically take over? What has to happen before that sub can come in the classroom? There has to be a ton of time invested for an adequate lesson plan so that substitute can carry that out. And that doesn't happen without time and effort. And I'm guessing when teachers start to realize that they're going to have to commit extra hours just to have somebody come in and teach their lesson for a short period of time, they're going to find this difficult to manage. And so the flexibility of this plan is probably the most important thing I value from it. There's many good ideas in here, and there's many good ideas we'll have to listen to and incorporate. But when we talk about the kids, Senator Shelgren continued to talk about accountability. The class size for third grade in Maquoketa, Senator Shelgren, is 19. And it would have been 25 without that program. I'm not asking you to yield or anything, Senator. I'm just saying, here's some statistics. And, you know, you talked about statistics. You cherry-picked third grade, right? He chose to talk about third grade. In kindergarten, we're under 20. And that program also allows flexibility. So it's not solely about class size reduction. That's what we like to refer it to, because that's one of the major reasons why we implement it. If you remember, I read about six or seven school districts that have been significantly impacted by these funds. And we could probably get a report from 348 school districts that have similar stories. They choose to reduce their classroom size, and they choose to invest in reading strategies, whether it's summer school, reading strategies, and there's a lot more incorporated into it besides just the dollars. There is accountability. My wife has to report twice a year about their reading development and what strategies they're using, and allow the parents to take those strategies back home so they can practice and engage in the same thing that the school is, hoping that maybe that will improve their reading comprehension. There's no guarantee. There's so many variables out there in what determines the success rate of a student. It's a complex thing. It's not black and white, simple. You do this, all of a sudden scores will shoot up. You could be a great teacher one semester and see the reading scores improve and say, wow, you're a great reading teacher. Look at this child's score is way up here. And the next semester go down a little. you must have all of a sudden become a poor teacher. Because that's the only thing that could explain it. Obviously, this is all about the children. We want our kids to do better. I don't think anybody in this chamber differs from that point of view. I think we all have our perspectives on how we can improve it. I think this is a good first step, so I want to thank Senator Kornbach and the rest of the folks that worked hard and diligently on this, and I urge my colleagues to vote yes. Thank you, Madam President.
You're welcome, Senator. The chair recognizes a senator from Montgomery, Senator Ernst.
Thank you, Madam President. This has been an interesting evening of debate, actually morning, afternoon, evening, and we appreciate your patience. This has been a very long day, but you can tell that this is a topic that we all are very, very passionate about. Myself and my husband, we moved here from Florida. I don't know how many folks know that. We are both Iowa natives, and I grew up in Montgomery County, where I reside now. My husband, after spending 28 years on active duty in the Army, ended up in Florida, where we had our daughter, Libby. And knowing that his retirement was going to be soon, we contemplated, where do we want to retire? Where do we want to spend the rest of our lives? And it was without hesitation, and we moved here from the white sandy beaches of Destin, if you can imagine, beautiful weather all year round. We decided that we would move back to Iowa. And many reasons for moving back to Iowa. One, because of the great Midwestern work ethic. The other is that we have family here, both of us, family in Iowa. But one of the main reasons that we moved back to Iowa was so that Libby could go to school in our great Iowa public schools. I have every confidence in our schools. I know many of us who went to school here experienced that great time in education for Iowa when we ranked first and second in the nation. We always competed with Minnesota. Who's gonna be number one this year in education? We have to recognize that Iowa is not number one any longer. I still have every confidence in our Iowa schools that we can be number one again. And I have to compliment the governor, the lieutenant governor, the House, and the Senate for putting so much time and effort and energy into these bills. We have multiple bills before us. We have many things that differ, but we have many things that are very similar in these bills also. The Senate, I appreciate the fact that there are no unfunded mandates in your bill, Senator Kornbach. I appreciate that. That is very, very important for our small schools, actually any of our schools. I also like that we have flexibility for our school districts. There is local control within this bill. But I have to say also that within the House plan, very good plan there also. It does spend at least $40 million less than the Senate plan. And we do see more accountability in the House plan. I feel as we're talking about teacher assessments and student achievement, I see more of that in the House plan. We will always differ on the ideas and the best way to get to number one again, but I think that we can get to number one. I think the governor has really taken that step forward to say, you know, we need to improve our schools. And what can we do to improve our schools? And he put together these task forces. They came together, educators, parents, administrators, legislators, parents, all kinds of people to come together, look at the issues that we are facing in Iowa, look at other states and see what we can do better. I think those task forces did a very, very good job. And they gave recommendations to the governor, and he has acted on those. He has put forward a plan. That plan has been taken up by both the House and the Senate. And we have two plans now that have many different aspects. I know this will not be the last vote we take on education in this session. I think that there is still work to be done. But as I said in our education committee, I think we are on the right track. I think we are. But we have to come together between the House and the Senate and the governor's office and figure out what really is that best plan for Iowa. What can we all live with? What can our administrators live with? What can our children live with? My daughter is in eighth grade. This will be implemented if we can pass an education reform bill. This will be implemented soon, and she will hopefully see the results of this before she graduates. That's why I'm here in Iowa, is for her education. But I do think we're on the right track. I do want to take this time. I do want to acknowledge the governor's work in this, the lieutenant governor's work in this. We've had a lot of people really putting a lot of effort into this. I think the House has done a wonderful job bringing all of their members together to support their plan, and we have debated the Senate bill here today. And I do want to recognize Senator Kornbach. I want to thank you publicly, Senator Shane John also, because a difference that we have seen as we have gone through education reform, and I'm going to compare it to what we saw yesterday with Medicaid expansion, what we have seen in the past number of days, is that perhaps with Medicaid and expansion and Healthy Iowa, there wasn't as much discussion amongst the parties, just as an observer. But I have to say that as we have worked through this education reform process, that Senator Kornbach, you included me as a minority member in your discussions. I appreciate that. We're not always going to agree. We recognize that. But I do appreciate being included. So I do think that we can work together as parties, whether it's amongst the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, I think we can find a viable solution for Iowans. I think that our student achievement will increase. I think we will have the best teachers put in place out there, and I think we will have the appropriate supports in place for those teachers. Are we there yet? Maybe not. I am going to urge that my members vote no this evening, but I know that we are going to come together and discuss this even further. So with that, Madam President, I will conclude my remarks. Thank you.
The chair recognizes a senator from Butler, Senator Dix.
Madam President, Republicans will caucus briefly in room 24.
Seeing none, the chair recognizes the senator from Story, Senator Kornbach, for final remarks on Senate File 423.
Well, thank you, Madam President. It's been a long morning, afternoon, and evening, as was pointed out. And I do appreciate all of the dedicated public servants who have contributed to the discussion and the debate, not just today, but in the formulation of this bill, and all the private citizens and teachers and parents and so forth who have lent their opinions and their good efforts with regard to the bill, regard to the task forces that were created last year. Just a whole lot of people have put a whole lot of good effort into this bill. They do it because, I think, as Senator Ernst said, because they love this state. And Senator, I wasn't born here either, but I appreciate that you and I have both made, you and I both at least got one thing right. We wound up in Iowa. The purpose of this bill, ultimately, is to help the children of Iowa, the students, the workers, the business leaders, the educators, the government leaders of tomorrow. Our particular focus here is to help them in their achievement by helping acquire and develop more and better faculty members to take the great teachers that we have and make them even greater, and to recruit the next great generation of great teachers into this time-honored profession. We want to do that in a way that allows for local flexibility with our school districts to give them the option of choosing among different models according to the needs and the particular circumstances of their district. The governor's model is included. It's a good one. If it works for a district, by all means take it. If one of the other models works, then by all means take that model. If you need to develop your own, we give you guidance for doing that as well. So I think that we have respected our local school districts. We have provided them with opportunities and tools to develop their professional development capabilities. And we're also, within this bill, providing the adequate funding for them to do that. Director Glass said the most important thing between this year's approach and the approach of a dozen years ago is cash. I think he's right. We can have all the greatest plans in the world, but if we're not willing to pay for them, then it will all come to naught. Our school districts want to improve. So many of those districts are already hard at work at the issues touched upon in this bill. We don't want to push them backward. We want to encourage them forward, and we want to provide them with the resources to accomplish that. We do touch upon other things in this bill: competency-based education, economically challenged districts, world language opportunities, items which were included and priorities which were identified in last year's bipartisan education reform bill. I look forward to continuing to make further progress along those lines. But if none of what I have said is persuasive to you, then let me close with what I think is the single most important thing in this bill, which is allowable growth. Our school districts must have 4% allowable growth. We have polled the superintendents. They could have chosen any number between 0 and 6. They chose 81% focused in on that 4% number. If we're listening to our local school districts at all, if we are in communication, if we intend to represent the needs and to meet the needs of those districts, we must have 4% allowable growth for the coming year and the year beyond. It will take several years to implement these models that I hope that we are in the process of enacting today. But in the meantime, we have to keep our schools going. We have to keep the lights on. We have to provide the heat. We have to pay for the textbooks. We have to keep the buildings clean. We have to put gas in the bus. And oh yes, we have to pay our teachers and our staff and our administrators for the good work that they are doing on the behalf of our children. We must keep our existing system moving forward, even as we challenge it to reach even new heights in quality and student achievement. For all of those reasons, I ask the body to support this bill on final passage.
The senator from Story moves that Senate